أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد صلى الله عليه وآله أجمعين وأصحابه المنتجبين. أما بعد، قال الله تعالى في كتابه الكريم: الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم. In the name of Allah, the most merciful, the most compassionate. Respectable audience, distinguished listeners, honorable viewers, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Dear listeners, today, God willing, we are going to talk about the divine attributes that are related to Almighty Allah's essence or Almighty Allah's entity. You know that we did categorize that in respect with Almighty Allah's attributes, or in the God with the divine attributes, there are many categorizations. One of the most important one of them is that some attributes are related to Almighty Allah's essence, while others or some other attributes are related to Almighty Allah's actions. In essential divine attributes, you know that we do not pay attention to Almighty Allah's relationship with the rest of the creatures. Only we think and we ponder about Almighty Allah's essence. And then, for sure, we will come to this conclusion, we will come to this understanding that how many attributes can be related to Almighty Allah's essence without considering or without taking into account Almighty Allah's relationship with the rest of the creatures. Only Almighty Allah alone. Thinking about this, the philosophers and the Muslim theologians have drawn many or have derived many attributes that could be related or that could be ascribed to Almighty Allah. One of those important and most fundamental attributes that should be ascribed to Almighty Allah, that is life. Almighty Allah is a living one. This verse of the Holy Quran, later on we will come and tell that there are many rational and scriptural arguments and reasons that prove Almighty Allah's attributes. So Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum. In this verse of the Holy Quran, Almighty Allah is going to prove life for himself. You know that what are the reasons or what are those basic arguments that favor our claim, that favor our approach that Almighty Allah is a living one? We have many rational and many scriptural reasons that Almighty Allah is a living one. One of the best and most fundamental argument that the philosophers have put forth in this respect, that is, that فَاقِدُ الشَّيْءِ لَا يَسْتَطِيعِ يَكُونَ مُعْتِ الشَّيْءِ. When we could prove that Almighty Allah is the efficient cause, when we could substantiate that Almighty Allah is the primal cause and the rest of the causes are subordinate to Almighty Allah's creation or createdness, then this philosophical law makes us reach this conclusion that Almighty Allah himself should be alive first. Otherwise, a dead one does not have this power and authority to make other causes efficient. The rest of the causes, you know that whenever we say that the rest of the causes belong to Almighty Allah's will, so he has to be a living one. Otherwise, Almighty Allah cannot give life to other causes while he himself should be dead, or while he himself should be a non-living one. The moment we think, or the moment we assume that Almighty Allah is the necessary existent, the moment we think that Almighty Allah is an efficient cause, or the prime and the first cause, at that moment this conclusion is drawn that he has to be a living one. Otherwise, he cannot shower blessings, he cannot give mercy and grant other beings sustenance. هُوَ الْحَيُّ الْقَيُّمُ All sustainer. How he has to be a sustainer while he himself is dead, if we suppose this. So it makes a huge difference that we have to think philosophically that Almighty Allah is the efficient cause, Almighty Allah is the first cause. From this rule, from this philosophical reasoning, we can drive this conclusion that Almighty Allah should be a living one. A non-living one cannot beget or cannot create. So this is first. Secondly, it should be mentioned that his life is different from what we are having life. It means our living is different from Almighty Allah's, and his is different from us. It is essentially, sometimes the philosophers say that our being, our existence is of the same kind that Almighty Allah's is. But the level of existence is different. We are in the lower or in the lowest level of existence, while Almighty Allah and the rest of the creatures, such as angels and others, are of the higher existence. Only what makes difference is the level of existence. Otherwise, the very existence we are in common. We share this commonality that we, the human beings and the creatures, do have the same existence as that of Almighty Allah. But of course, Almighty Allah's existence is limitless. Almighty Allah's existence is without any limitations. Those limitations that the human beings and the rest of the creatures are subject to. This is the second argument we put forward, that Almighty Allah is a living one and a living creator. He enjoys life. He is Hayy. He is a living one. He should not be thought or assumed as a non-living creator. You know that whenever a person creates, the world of creation itself implies that he has to be a living one. The second argument can be brought from Khaja Nasiruddin Tusi. He has said, كل قادر وعالم حي بالضرورة إن شاء الله. Every powerful or every knowledgeable is essentially a living one. He says that he who possesses power and he who possesses knowledge, it should be thought that he enjoys life prior possessing knowledge and possessing power. Prior talking about Almighty Allah's power, prior talking about Almighty Allah's boundless knowledge, we have to make it sure, we have to confirm it beforehand that he is a living one. Otherwise, these attributes cannot be related and ascribed to Almighty Allah. So he has to be firstly thought as a living one, so that we have to talk about Almighty Allah's power and Almighty Allah's knowledge. This is another important argument made by Khaja Nasiruddin Tusi, a very well-known theologian of the Muslims. The third important point that can be put forth here in respect with Almighty Allah's existence, in respect with Almighty Allah's life, that he is a living one, we did prove this priorly, I think, that when we talked about the human beings' dichotomous dimensions and aspects, that human beings are composed of two components, physical and spiritual components, we did say that the life belongs to the spirit. You know that when a person dies, when a person passes away, actually he is not accompanied with his spirit. So spirit is an immaterial being or existence. Since our life depends on our immaterial aspect, whenever our bodies are existent, sometimes you know that when an accident occurs, a dead corpse is present. He has the eyes, he has his head, he has his all organs, but they do not function, they do not work. Why? Because the spirit has gone. He does not have life. So life depends on one's spiritual aspect. Since Almighty lies of immaterial kind, since Almighty lies of immaterial existence, so Almighty Allah's existence, Almighty Allah's life should be proved, should be taken for granted. Why? Because Almighty Allah is not a physical existent. Almighty Allah is an immaterial being and existent. So, respectable audience, let me make it more clear that life is fully dependent on one's spirit. One's life is not fully dependent on one's physique. There are people, as I said, there are people who have lost one of their organs, or many parts or many organs they have lost, but still they are alive. It makes us reach this conclusion that life does not depend on one specific organ. Rather, it depends on one's spirit. When the spirit goes, then we will be dead corpse. Taking all this into account, or given the fact that we brought some rational arguments about Almighty Allah's existence, now the turn comes to those scriptural reasons that can be put forth here. One of them is the very verse of the Holy Quran. Almighty Allah explicitly says that Alif Lam Mim, Huwa Allahu Alladhi La Ilaha Illa Huwa Al-Hayyu Al-Qayyum. Beside this verse, there are a host of verses in the Holy Quran that explicitly indicate that Almighty Allah is a living one, making it sure for the audience, for the listeners, for those who were the addressee of the Holy Quran's verses, that do not think that Almighty Allah does not know about you. Almighty Allah is fully negligent, fully nonchalant towards your ashes. No, he knows fully. He is omniscient and he is omnipotent. So being present here and there, it needs life. It needs that a person should be a living one. These scriptural reasons conserve our purpose when we believe that Almighty Allah has sent us the Holy Quran, the book. Otherwise, for an atheist who disfavor or who opposes with the Holy Quran, these scriptural reasons or arguments cannot work. But for a Muslim who believes that Almighty Allah has sent him the Holy Quran and still it has remained intact, it has remained safe and sound, and no distortion has penetrated or infiltrated in this book, it can be a valid source for him. It is the most authoritative source for him, that he has to take all his beliefs and fundamental accounts from this Holy Quran. So when this Holy Quran says to him that Almighty Allah is a living one, so he will believe that, of course, Almighty Allah is a living creator. This is very much important. Another verse of the Holy Quran that explicitly indicates or have a say in this regard, that is وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى الْحَيِّ الَّذِي لَا يَمُوتُ. It means that you have to take refuge to a living creator, that he is not subject to death. No death or demise comes towards him. It is we that we are subject to death. But Almighty Allah is not of those kind. So Almighty Allah remains forever, since his existence is of a necessary kind. This is the arguments we made about this fact that Almighty Allah is a living creator. Almighty Allah is alive. Almighty Allah is Hayy. Almighty Allah is not the one that we have to think that he has been perished or his age is expired. No, he is alive and he will be there forever. Another positive attribute that can be ascribed to Almighty Allah's essence, not Almighty Allah's actions, Almighty Allah's essence, that is knowledge. What does knowledge mean? You might know, I think every one of us knows something about knowledge, about awareness, about this that one has to have or one has to earn and gain information about something. So Almighty Allah is all aware. Almighty Allah is all knowing. Almighty Allah possesses absolute knowledge. Almighty Allah's knowledge is boundless. While the human being's knowledge is limited, it is imprisoned with different kinds of limitations. But Almighty Allah is boundless. Even if you have remembered, when we were talking about the design argument, we came to this conclusion that a very wise designer is behind the universe. The only wise designer can produce such a marvelous world that we are living in this world, having wonderful phenomena. We believe that the very wise creator should be possessing knowledge. Otherwise, he cannot design. It seems very much absurd, dear listeners, that every one of us know that in our daily experiences, in our daily life, every one of us are aware that an ignorant person can do nothing. An ignorant person can do nothing. Or a person who is deprived of knowledge, he is not able to design, he is not able to work, he is not able to do many things. Because many things are in dire need of knowledge, in dire need of information. Think of a very simple computer. It needs knowledge. The manufacturers should be knowledgeable personalities, figures. Otherwise, they will not be able to produce such laptops or such computers. So it is a very tiny example that such a complex product is in dire need of master and very expert engineers. So how a marvelous world we are living in. So does not it need a wise designer and creator behind? For sure, this world does need or is in constant need of a designer and constant need of a very living and knowledgeable creator. Otherwise, an ignorant living one cannot produce such a wonderful world. Leaving aside all those marvelous oceans, that you know that our knowledge of the oceans are very limited than the surface of the earth. We might have some knowledge about the surface, but the deep layers of the oceans and the galaxies that are beyond our reach, that we have not invented yet, all of them are in need of a very wise and knowledgeable designer. Otherwise, it will not be created. So Almighty Allah's second most important positive attribute is knowledge. And with these examples, we could prove the fact that Almighty Allah is possessing knowledge. But indeed, Almighty Allah's knowledge is boundless. Almighty Allah's knowledge is limitless. It is not prone to those errors, to those mistakes our knowledge might be prone to. So the second argument of us that Almighty Allah possesses knowledge, it traces back to the design argument as it was said. But the third argument, it goes to those scriptural arguments we bring to you from our Holy Quran. Our Holy Quran has touched this important fact that Almighty Allah is Alim, Almighty Allah is all-knowing. Almighty Allah knows everything. Almighty Allah is not only knowing your deeds, your practical steps, rather He is fully aware of your intentions, those things that comes in your mind and but goes away. Even Almighty Allah is aware of those intentions. So, dear listeners, these were the two important attributes that could be ascribed to Almighty Allah's essence. First, life. It means that He is a living creator. He is still alive and will be alive forever. He had been alive from the eternity, from pre-eternity, and He will be alive forever, for His existence is of necessary kind. This is first. Secondly, we say that Almighty Allah is all-knowing. Almighty Allah knows everything. So, Almighty Allah's knowledge can be divided into two types. Almighty Allah's knowledge to Himself, or Almighty Allah's knowledge of Himself, and sometimes Almighty Allah's knowledge of His creatures. The first kind, I mean Almighty Allah's knowledge of Himself, is of immediate kind. We call it ilm huduri. Almighty Allah's knowledge of Himself is of immediate kind. Almighty Allah's knowledge in respect with His creatures is of two kinds. Almighty Allah's knowledge to His creature before their creation, and Almighty Allah's knowledge to His creature after their creation. The second type is not of the present kind, of not the immediate kind. Rather, Almighty Allah's knowledge to His creatures prior their creation is of immediate kind. So, keep it in mind that Almighty Allah's knowledge can be talked about in many ways. But here we touch this important point that Almighty Allah's knowledge can be divided into two categories. The first, Almighty Allah's knowledge of Himself, and Almighty Allah's knowledge in respect with His creatures. In respect with His creatures, again, it can be divided into two groups. Sometimes Almighty Allah's knowledge to His creature prior to their creation, and sometimes after their creation. So Almighty Allah's knowledge is limitless, boundless, and there are many other characteristics that can be ascribed to Almighty Allah's knowledge. But I do prefer that our dear listeners and viewers have to refer to those voluminous books that they have talked about this important issue in detail. So, respectable audience, distinguished listeners, may Almighty Allah bless us all that we have to have complete comprehension of all these attributes, and then we have to be fully aware of our own deeds so that we have to be given and we have to be granted the eternal felicity and happy life. May God bless you all. Thank you very much. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.